Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, how are you? Welcome in to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. It's our opportunity as blind or partially sighted people to get together each week and explore the world of technology. We love to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in contact, you can do that by email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K at rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, we'll be speaking to the team behind the popular mobile game Football Chairman to find out how the latest version of the game is the most accessible yet. And Callum Stoneman tests out the Broadcasts radio streaming app for iOS. That's all to come this time on Tech Talk. Welcome in to our co-hosts, Hubert Pavalkovich, Callum Stoneman and Jackie Brown. Good to have you with us. Going to pop round and just see what's grabbing your attention this week. Let's come to you first, Hubert.
Well, it's iOS 18 amongst that and Braille displays for me. So that's what I've been playing around this week. One particular highlight for me personally was finally, I think it's been a long time coming, this voiceover tutorial being introduced, which I think is excellent for new voiceover users, because I always thought that is what iOS was missing when the Mac has had something of its kind for quite a while.
Yeah, the Mac has had this for ages, hasn't it? Where you turn on voiceover for the first time and it will say, you know, welcome to voiceover. I think it's, if you've used voiceover, press the letter V. If you haven't, then wait a few seconds and this little tutorial pops up that talks you through all the keyboard commands and navigation and stuff. Now, I'm not sure if it works that way on iOS, like when you turn it on for the first time, if it comes up. But yeah, finally, there's a tutorial there that will talk you through all the different gestures and how you navigate and all the talking through how to use the rotor. And there's a lot in there, to be fair. It's good. It's really good. There was that VO starter app, wasn't there, that did try to do a similar thing, but that was third party, right?
There was a Looktel voiceover tutorial as well, which added a bit of a gaming element to it. So there are a few different apps, but I always thought what was missing was Apple's very own solution, which it was a bit disappointing that it's taken this long for it to be here.
Yeah. I mean, those third party ones was that I know someone could download it for you and get you going on it, but if you didn't have that ability, then you still had to have some level of voiceover knowledge to get to the App Store, type in the search term, find the app, download it, get into it. Yeah, it's good that it's built in, definitely.
It's a really important and often overlooked part of the accessibility experience, isn't it? I know on Android, TalkBack has a little tutorial when you first use it.
Yeah, it does. It's quite good. It's quite comprehensive, the TalkBack tutorial. And we do get customers asking, when they call, where do I get instructions on how to use VoiceOver? So it is long overdue, to be honest, that we have it, but it's good that it's there now.
And in Windows, of course, if you start Narrator with Control Windows key and Enter the first time, you get a little tutorial there as well about how to use your Windows machine with Narrator. So, yeah, interested in your views about those startup experiences. Do you think they're good enough? Do you think they could be better? Let us know, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But continuing our focus on iOS 18, because it's dropped this week. Callum Stoneman, I know you are particularly interested in the new Braille screen input features. Are you a convert?
Well, I don't know about convert, but this is a brilliant. It's had a complete revamp as Braille screen input, and you can now use it to not only enter text, but control your device. So it's very much like if you've ever had a Braille display connected, it's like you're using the corded commands, which basically means you can, if you've got a Braille display, you can hold down the space bar along with certain keys, and then you can control your device. We're going to try and get a bit of a demo of this because that's the easiest way to explain it. But you could basically convert your entire device into, you could just have it as a Braille-based device, really. Just use it all the time in Braille screen input, which is brilliant because you don't have to worry about all these we've just been talking about the gestures, you know, the swiping and double tap and all that kind of thing. You don't have to worry about that. You can just control pretty much your entire device. I'm sure there'll be some things you can't do, but you can do most things with just Braille commands, even if you don't have an external device like a Braille display or a Hable 1 or something. So it's, yeah, it's a huge improvement.
Speaking of the Hable 1, though, I've been using... I love Braille screen input. And this is brand new. Braille screen input for me is fantastic. But if you are a Hable 1 user, are you going to be basically disregarding that now? Because to me, it's literally like having the Hable 1 on your iPhone, pretty much. But the only probably attractive part is if you like that physical button press reassurance. But other than that, I'm struggling to... Yeah, to see that. I mean, the other option is obviously if you don't want to take your phone out of your pocket, it's quite handy. But yeah, Hable 1, is that a risk now, do you think, or devices like that?
Part of this is there's a little bit of catch-up here as well, isn't there? The ability to have Braille screen input automatically appear when you land on a text field. That is something that has been in Android for a little while now. I know for unlocking a phone, you know, when you've got to type in a PIN code, sometimes it's easier to do that in Braille rather than sort of hack around the screen to find the digits. So a little bit of parity there now, but this command mode does feel like a step forward, Callum.
Oh yeah, it does, yeah, massively. I mean, I love the Hable 1. I hope that it's not at risk because I think it's a great little device, but like you said, Hubert, it's kind of hard to, you know, it doesn't have as much of a selling point now, I suppose, does it, other than the physical buttons, which is a shame, but...
But that is a big point, though, isn't it? Because for some people, actually having those physical buttons and that tactile feedback is very important. And, you know, with the best will in the world, some folk just don't get on with touchscreens. Jackie Brown, have you upgraded?
No. In a word, no, I haven't, not yet. I am always a bit cautious.
Playing it safe.
Yeah, with these upgrades, I like to listen to the mood music a little bit and see what people are saying, what they're writing about. I've seen a few comments this week. Some people have said maybe battery drain a little bit. The usual kind of suspects that that pop up with upgrades. It might not have anything to do with the battery drain, or, you know, some people say that, you know, they're having difficulty unlocking their phone when they reboot it, and the screen, the pin screen, as I call it, goes quiet. So I always just wait until the voiceover, you know, settles down a little bit with all the accessibility quirks. But I will upgrade when I think iOS 18.01 or something comes out. That's when I normally would do it. I wait for the first release to die down, and then I give it a go. But I'm looking forward to seeing all the new features with Siri and Braille screen input. I'm really looking forward to that. But no, I haven't done it yet.
Very wise indeed. And particularly if you're using your device in a mission critical situation, in a production environment, or if you don't have a test device, then actually just holding off on that update and just reading the room, finding out how other people are getting on is, it's a good way to go as well. So Apple Viz, of course, have got information on their website about their experiences using the new version. So do check that out and let us know how you are getting on. Have you updated the software on your device recently, whether that be an Apple device, an Android device, or even a Windows device? We'd be keen to hear from you.
Yeah, because Android 15 is out now. So, you know, TalkBack has been revamped a bit as well. So, you know, it's not just about iOS and the, you know, the Apple fan base, if you like. There is a good upgrade going on for Android. My husband has just updated to Android 15 and he said it's not too bad so far. So yeah, give it a go.
And I think for us as blind people, of course, the key thing is, are there any accessibility regressions that we need to be aware of? Because sometimes that can happen in software updates where things that used to work perhaps are not quite as good as they were. So it's useful to get a heads up. So let us know, have you discovered any accessibility regressions in any of your software or operating system updates? So techtalk@rnib.org.uk is how you get in contact with us. Hubert, Callum, Jackie, thank you Stick around, it's another Tech Talk.
Time now on Tech Talk to talk football chairman. Yes, this game we've mentioned a few times in passing on the show, but today we'll actually dive into more details regarding the game and its accessibility and how it has been maintained throughout over 10 years of certainly me playing the game. Joining me now is the developer of Football Chairman, James Black. James, thank you for joining us.
That's all right. Good to speak to you.
So first of all, for people that haven't had the joy of playing Football Chairman, can you tell us a little bit about how the game came about and what is it?
Yeah, so basically, actually, when it first launched, which was 11 years ago now, it actually came about kind of almost by accident. Basically, at that time, there was a lot of football management games around in the app stores, but there wasn't anywhere where you could actually be the owner of a football club or the chairman of a football club. And it was something that I felt would be a good idea for a game. So I actually just built it as a bit of a hobby in my spare time. We launched it in the App Store in 2013, and suddenly it just kind of went viral. And within a few weeks, we were kind of quite high up in the App Store charts, and everyone seemed to like the concept. So basically, since then, that's been my full-time job for the last 11 years, has been kind of maintaining it and improving it. And listening to all the feedback from the users, basically.
So how do the game mechanics work? How does the game work itself?
Yeah, so obviously you start off as the chairman of a football club, and at the very start, you're the chairman of a very small football club in the kind of seventh tier of football. So you've got about 100 fans at a very small stadium. And basically, it's your job to kind of manage the finances and build the club up. Obviously, hiring and firing managers, contract negotiations with players, developing the stadium, developing the training facilities, the youth academy, things like that. And just kind of doing all the kind of business jobs that the chairman of a football club would do, whilst, you know, having a little bit of a dive into some of the sort of more traditional football management things, like, as I say, buying and selling players and that kind of thing.
Now, the gameplay, you know, apart from some of the management side of things, the main kind of gameplay of going through the weeks of the season is quite fast paced. Was that kind of intended? What's the reason behind the fast based gameplay, the kind of fast paced gameplay that the game has?
Yeah, so basically one of the reasons why I created it in the first place was that I've always loved games like, obviously, Football Manager or Championship Manager, as it was back in the day. As those games have got more and more complicated, they do take a lot of your time up. And obviously, you know, as you get older and you've got more responsibilities, sometimes you just don't have the time to devote, you know, hours and hours of your life to playing, you know, a season of Football Manager or whatever it might be. I kind of felt there was a bit of a gap in the market for a much faster game where you could sort of whiz through a season quite quickly without that kind of commitment to a real long-term kind of gaming experience.
When it comes to developing games, naturally, it's nice for accessibility to be at the forefront of the developers' minds, and that's what blind and partially sighted gamers want to encourage. How did accessibility in your game come about? Was that something you wanted to have from the beginning, or is that something that came to you as you were developing the game? How did that accessibility element come about?
Yeah, it was in there from day one because, really simply, we're such a very small company. And as I say, there's only me working full time on the game, and my other we've got a co-director as well who works on other apps. But basically, there's only two of us in the studio effectively. So as a really small company trying to compete with all the big players out there, it was just a case that we really wanted as many people as possible to be able to play the game and enjoy the game, hopefully. And so it doesn't matter to us, you know, whether it's, you know, a blind person or a sighted person. We just really wanted everyone to be able to enjoy it. And that was our kind of ethos from the start. And luckily we've managed to kind of attract a really kind of, you know, devoted following from the sort of blind and partially sighted community. And they've been really, really supportive. And it's something that ever since then, you know, has been an important part of what we do, really.
When you were implementing accessibility, did you know how to do that, or were there any resources that you used or organisations that you've used to help you with that?
No, if I'm absolutely honest, no, we're not experts in screen readers or voiceover or any of that kind of thing. What happens really, as I say, is that we started to pick up a quite devoted user base from that community, and luckily they've been really helpful in you know, obviously pointing out parts of the game that weren't particularly accessible and places where we could do it better. And, you know, with their feedback and with their help, we've, you know, for a start, we've learned more and more about accessibility ourselves. But at the same time, we're still never going to be as much of an expert as as those people are, and they've been really brilliant in helping us make sure that the game is as accessible as possible.
Now, when it comes to maintaining the game, it's naturally a huge task to maintain the game on a regular basis, make sure everything's running smoothly. How did you find maintaining accessibility throughout such a long period of, 11 years of the game being around?
I mean, the good thing in a way with Football Chairman is that it's a very text-based game. You know, it's not a graphical game. There's not 3D players running around the pitch or anything like that. So obviously text-based games, you know, probably work better for an accessibility point of view anyway. So that's always kind of played into our hands, I guess, as well. And so it's just been a case of obviously any time we have been doing updates, just trying to make sure that we can give it a test to make sure that they're still as accessible as the previous version of the game was.
Recently, you have launched Football Chairman Pro 2. And this was quite exciting when I've certainly heard about this, having played the original game for quite a bit. I wanted to try this game. So can you tell us, because it's still the same game, it works on a similar basis, what's new with Football Chairman Pro 2?
Basically the old game was around for, the first game came out 13 years ago. After that, there've been a couple more versions, and actually the last version was around for about 8 years. In that time, we've had a lot of feedback from the users about new features that they'd like to see and things that perhaps they didn't like in the old game. So basically we just made a bit of a kind of wish list of all the things that people had asked us about in the previous game. And we went through the list and basically tried to make this new game as good as possible and fit in all the things that people had asked for in the old game, really. And at the same time, obviously, mobile phones have got faster and more powerful in the last 8 years. So we were able to do a little bit more in terms of adding more depth to the game, more depth to the kind of the amount of data that we could use. So the game is hopefully a little bit more in depth than the old one, but hopefully we've not lost that kind of fast pace that people really liked about being able to get through the seasons quite quickly.
I mean, from my experience, the fast pace of Football Chairman Pro 2 is still very much there, and we will be doing a demo of the game on the show also. But when it comes to new features, what are some of the new features that you have added to Football Chairman Pro 2?
The main things are, for instance, the previous game was very, very simplistic, which was, part of the reason people could zoom through the season. So, for instance, in the old game, managers didn't even have an age, whereas now you can find out how old the manager is. So you can choose, do you want a young up and coming manager? Do you want an old manager who's got a lot of experience? Obviously, this coming season, all the European competitions have been kind of reformatted for the new season. There's the new version of the Champions League and so on. So we've tried to kind of recode all the European competitions to match real life. There's a new challenge, which is a financial fair play challenge. So again, that's something that's come into real life football over the last 8 years. And we've tried to reflect that in the game as well. So really, it's just kind of the same game, but hopefully bigger and better.
And were there any particular accessibility challenges you have faced when developing the second version of the game?
Yeah, and in fairness, there's still some challenges now. Obviously, whenever you launch a new game, people are always going to report things back to you in the first few weeks. And so even now, we're aware that, for instance, one of the things with the new version is that we have overhauled a lot of the graphical elements, and that therefore means that some of the stuff that might have been more accessible in the previous version maybe isn't quite so accessible in the very first version of this. So we're now working through any graphical elements that need to be updated for accessibility, and things like the match screen. There's a new possession bar on the match screen, which updates every minute of the game. But unfortunately, that means that voiceover can get stuck into a little bit of a loop on that. And it's little things like that, we can only find out with the help of the people who are playing it. And they, like I say, I've been speaking to, five or six blind players over the last couple of days who've been giving us some really great feedback on little things like that we just need to tweak for the next update.
What are some of the features that the users, you said, didn't like and therefore were changed in Football Chairman Pro 2?
There was things like, for instance, during the winter, your pitch would get worse every week. So slowly but surely, your pitch would start to turn into a bit of a mud bath, and basically every few weeks you'd have to spend a bit of money to keep upgrading the pitch and things like that were a bit boring and repetitive, that people found were a bit, menial jobs that they didn't really enjoy. So we tried to strip out some of the more kind of, menial little tasks and try and focus on the bigger picture of, as I say, trying to a strategy for the future, picking the right manager and, signing the right players and that side of things.
I did wonder why I wasn't getting that alert from from my pitch staff. That's quite interesting. Now, I appreciate the game has only just come out, so are there any new features that are still to come or will come in the future? Any kind of sneak preview you can provide us?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, again, you know, one of the main things we've done for the last 11 years is always just listen to everyone's feedback. And the funny thing is, as I say, we gathered about, you know, 8 or 9 years worth of feedback to put into the new game. And we thought we'd got most things covered, but there's still things that people are requesting. And there's still, you know, over the next year or so, we'll be adding more stuff. I mean, one thing that a lot of people have always wanted to do is to be able to move to a different country in the middle of the game. So at the moment, you have to, at the very start of the game, you have to choose which country you want to be based in. What would be quite a nice feature for the future would be, you know, halfway through, if you're a bit bored of being in England or Scotland, you might be able to, you know, take over a team in Spain or France or something instead. So that's something we still want to introduce at some point in the next year or two. And there's a few other things like that. And hopefully the game will never stop evolving if, you know, people keep playing it and people keep giving us their feedback, basically.
And speaking of playing the game, if people would like to do so, what platforms is the game available, and what is the cost of the game?
It's available on iOS and Android. The new game is a $3.99 on both of those platforms in the app stores. There is a free game available, which is it's a slightly older version, but it would give you a taster of a Football Chairman if you want to try a free version and just see if you like the concept. And again, that's available on both iOS and Android.
Before we let you go, can you tell us, do you guys do other games as well that people maybe can take advantage of if maybe football is not up to their taste?
Yes, we've got a game in the App Store called Superstar Band Manager, which is obviously a music-based game on along similar lines to Football Chairman. And then in the future, we've got various ideas for new games. But as I say, because we are such a small team and because Football Chairman has been so successful, it means that that does take up the vast majority of our time, really. But we'd certainly like to try and introduce some more accessible games onto the market, and with perhaps different sports or different genres.
That is fantastic to hear, and hopefully our listeners will help to contribute to the great work you have done so far. We will have the demo of the game coming up on the show too, but for now, James Black, the developer of Football Chairman, thank you very much for coming on to talk to us here on RNIB Tech Talk.
No problem. Thanks for your time.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
If you have an iOS device, there are several ways that you can listen to the radio. The easiest way is to use Siri. So you can just say to Siri, play a station name, so play RNIB Connect Radio, for example, and all being well, that will start playing, just using the built-in music app. But as we know, asking by voice isn't always the most reliable method. There are loads of different apps out there that you can get. TuneIn Radio used to be my go-to, but over the years, they've added things like TuneIn Premium, and in the free version of the app, they've got ads all over the place. There are ads before stations start playing sometimes. I've even had ads appear in the middle of streams before. It's interrupted a station to play in a couple of ads. And I mean, it's still accessible, but it's just become a lot more convoluted to use. So I've been looking for an app that just gives you a list of stations and just allows you to just play radio stations. No, I don't necessarily need all the fancy features. I just want to be able to play the radio. And Dave told me about this app, actually, so I can't take full credit, but this is an app called Broadcasts, and it's a free app, or at least there's a free version of it. So the free version allows you to have up to 5 favourites. The paid version, which at the time of recording is £9.99, a one-off purchase by the looks of it, removes that 5 limitation, so you can have as many stations as you want in your favourites. And essentially what it allows you to do is set presets. So if you like, think of your good old fashioned digital radio or FM radio, or the sort of radio you've got in your car, where you might have a bunch of buttons, which are essentially favorites, and you set your stations as favorites. When you want to switch to a particular station, you just push the relevant button and it starts playing. It's very much like that. So you can browse through stations. You can browse the directory by country or by location, or you can just type in a search term. When you find the station that you want, you add it to your favorites, and then in the main screen of the app, there's just a list of stations. You double tap them, whichever one you want, and it starts playing. It's really, really simple. So I'm going to just quickly show you this. So I'm going to grab my iPhone and I'm going to go into Broadcasts.
Broadcasts. Broadcasts. Toggle view button.
So the first thing we've got, we're on the home screen and there's a button at the top there so you can change your view. Now I've got a couple of stations added in here, so let's just go through this screen.
Add station button.
So you can add a station there.
All stations heading.
So that's all stations.
Find in all stations search field.
If you had a few, I'm on the free version, so I've only got two added at the minute, but there's a maximum of five. But if you were on the paid version and you had quite a few stations added in here, then you can search through your library, essentially.
My collection. BBC Radio 1. A black Radio X. A green bar graph on a white background.
So VoiceOver's built-in image description is trying to describe why I assume it's the station logos there, but I've got two stations there, BBC Radio 1 and Radio X. Now, because these are other radio stations, I can only play you really short snippets of what's going on. So this might get a bit messy, but bear with me and I'll try and explain what's happening. So if I just double tap on, let's go for BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1. A black letter inside.
So if I double tap that.
Select toggle view button selected BBC Radio 1. A black letter inside a white.
There you go. That was Radio 1 started playing. Obviously, VoiceOver spoke over it a little bit there. But that was Radio 1. Similarly, if I flick to the right and do Radio X.
Radio X. Speech off.
I'll turn VoiceOver speech off just so that it doesn't do that again. Because that sometimes can happen, as it does in several audio apps. VoiceOver can sometimes talk over it. But if I double tap on Radio X. There it is. Radio X starts playing. And you can switch through these really, really quickly as well. The nice thing is as well that the focus stays where it is. So right now I've got speech off, but I know, or at least I'm hoping, because that's what's happened when I've tested it, that the focus has stayed on Radio X. And by the way, the way I was pausing that was just doing the two-finger double tap, the magic tap. That works perfectly in this app. So that's the easiest way to stop the station from playing. And it must kind of pre-buffer the stations because they start playing really, really quickly. So if I just quickly switch between them, that's Radio X. I'm going to flick to the left. And then there's Radio 1. So you see what I mean about it feels like your good old-fashioned radio. You know, there's no buffering, there's no kind of, there's very little buffering at least. There's no like, do you want to play this station or, you know, there's no hoops to jump through basically. It's just, you find the station, double tap it, and boom, it's playing. So that's two stations that I've got in there. What if you want to add another one? Well, there's a couple of ways you can do it. There was the add station button at the top and that will bring up the browse feature. So there's a few tabs at the bottom of this screen, which I'm not going to go over in massive detail, but essentially there's the home tab, which is what we're on now. There's browse, which allows you to flick through the stations that are in the directory and you can browse, as I said, by country. And then you can further filter it by searching, or you can just view all the stations assigned to a particular country if you want to, if you want to try and find something new. There's search, where you type in a station name. There's collections, which is a little bit like your library that you've got here, but you can group your stations into categories if you wanted to, or collections on the premium version. So if you wanted a list of talk stations, for example, you could add that and add all talk stations to it. Then if you wanted a separate one for music, you could create that and then add all music stations to your music collection. And then the last tab is settings. And there's a few little bits that you can change in there, mainly related to the view and the way it looks. So it's not really relevant for us. I've not needed to change anything in there. So the easiest way to add a station is to do search. So I'm going to turn speech on again.
Speech on.
And we'll go to the search tab.
Collections tab 3 of 5. Search tab 4 of 5.
There it is.
More button. Search heading. Search field.
There's the search field. So I'm just going to type in
BBC Radio 4.
So I'm just going to put in BBC Radio 4. Sometimes you have to be quite precise with the station name. So for example, when I was looking for Radio 1, I didn't bother with the BBC bit. I just put in Radio 1. and it came up straight away. But when I tested this earlier with Radio 4, it just putting in Radio 4, it came up with a few different Radio 4s, but none of them were the BBC one. So if you don't find the exact station you're looking for, just make sure you're being quite precise with the station name. So I've put in BBC Radio 4. I'll click search.
Search. BBC Radio 4. Search field.
And then flick to the right.
BBC Radio 4. 48K. Your library button. BBC Radio 4 Extra. Play button.
So you got two results there. BBC Radio 4. 48K or whatever it said.
BBC Radio 4. 48K.
So there you go. I don't know what the 48K means, but that is Radio 4. So if we double tap on this.
Preview button.
We can preview, which basically means we can listen to the station from this screen.
Add to button.
Add to, and this is how you add it to your library.
My collection button.
So now it's saying, I was talking about the collections earlier. It's asking which collection we want to add this to. Now I've only got one, which is the default My Collection. So I'll double tap on that.
Details. BBC Radio 4, 48K.
Now it's not given us a specific, an explicit, confirmation, but it has added that to the library. So if we go to the Home tab now.
All Stations tab, 1 of 5.
The tab's called All Stations, but it's essentially the Home tab. Apologies there.
Toggle View button. Add Station, but All Stations, heading, find in All Stations, My Collection. BBC Radio 1. Radio X. BBC Radio 4, 48K.
And there it is. Text. It's there in our list. So now, again, I'll turn speech off. And we'll double tap on this station.
Star. A star is big and bright. But if by chance
there it is.
The planet actually goes between our
line of sight. If we want to switch to, for example,
star,
Radio 1.
For...
There you go. What a connection.
All I did there was flick to the left twice. Because the other option was Radio X. And then Radio 1. And I flick to the left twice to get to Radio 1. Double tap. And there you go. It starts playing. So really, really simple. The only downside is there's no RNIB Connect radio. I don't know where we are. I don't know what's kind of... because there's various radio station directories out there. And I don't know which one this app pulls from. But for some reason, we're not listed. Or at least I can't find us. So that's interesting. I have fed that back to the developer and asked if that can be added. I haven't heard back from them yet, but I did email them a couple of days ago, so I will... keep you updated if they get back to me, and I'll let you know if they add us, because we're an award-winning station. Come on, we deserve to be on there. But that's broadcasts. There's a few other things you can do as well. You can tie this into Siri shortcuts if you want to. I'm not going to cover that here because it's a little bit advanced, but essentially if you go into the Apple shortcuts app and go to create a new shortcut and go to the apps section, there's broadcasts there, and there's a few different actions you can do. So you can have it play a particular station as part of a shortcut, or stop a station playing as part of a shortcut. So you could assign it to a Siri command if you wanted to, or you could have a few different things happen at the same time. If you really get geeky with shortcuts, you could have, I don't know, your lights turn on and a station start playing at the same time, or something like that. And the final thing, which is a nice touch, it also works on the Apple Watch. So if you've got an Apple Watch, like most apps, it doesn't. You have to have kind of headphones or some sort of Bluetooth device connected to your watch. It doesn't play through the watch's speaker. But if you've got an Apple Watch, you should find broadcasts on there. And when you add stations to your library, as I just showed you then, they will appear on the Apple Watch as well. And as long as you've got, as I said, AirPods or a Bluetooth headset or something connected, it's similar sort of way it works on the iPhone. You just double tap it and it starts playing. Obviously, it does need to have a data connection, so your phone needs to be nearby, or if you've got a cellular Apple Watch, then you can use it on there. So if you wanted to take it out, if you wanted to go for a run, for example, looking at you, Dave, and you didn't want to take your phone with you, but you've got a cellular Apple Watch, you could still listen to the radio that way as well. So search for broadcasts in the App Store. It's a free app with the premium version if you want to, and I'm loving it personally. I think it's brilliant.
The only disadvantage, as far as I can tell, with broadcasts is it doesn't have RNIB Connect Radio on there yet, Callum Stoneman. Yeah. How do we change that?
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. I don't know where we are. I have got in touch with the developer about it and asked. I've not had a response yet, but I will try and flag that up. I don't know what database. So a lot of these apps, they use a kind of directory of radio stations, and there's a lot of them out there. I don't know which one this one uses, but for whatever reason, it doesn't have us. Disgrace.
Jackie, do you have a app that you like to listen to radio on?
If I want to, I've got the TalkSport app if I want to listen to something on there, and I've also got the BBC BBC Sounds if I want to listen to that. Normally, if I want to listen to the radio, I have one of my smart speakers. So it would only be if I was on the move and I particularly wanted to hear a football match commentary, which I often do. I like to keep in touch with that. So it would be 5Live on BBC Sounds. But there is one from British Wireless for the Blind as well. There's one called, I forget the name of it now.
Is it Speech Radio?
Yeah, but it doesn't work well on Android, so I've tried it.
Okay, well, if you've got a recommendation for an Android radio app, we would love to hear it. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But yeah, broadcasts, it's a hit, and hopefully we can get Connect Radio on there pretty soon.
Following our interview with James Black, the developer of Football Chairman, it's now time to show you Football Chairman itself. As explained, it's a fairly simple game. You manage a football club and it's fairly fast-paced. So what we're actually going to do is play out a week in Football Chairman, and you will get to see just how it works and find out a little taster of the game. So let's load it up. So we are now in the main screen of the game, which is the summary screen, and I will take you through what you've got.
Help button, banner, landmark.
So you've got the help button here, which will tell you what's on the screen here and what you can access.
Anti-cheat mode button.
Not quite sure what that is, as I've never had to use it.
Football Chairman, heading level 1. Take screenshot button.
So you can take screenshots. So if your club achieves something fantastic, then you can give this take a screenshot and share it on your social media if you so wish.
Settings menu button. Link end. Banner shadows SVG. Image. Main. Landmark. Banner black SVG. Image. Bedford City.
So Bedford City, that's my football club.
2029/30.
So we are in the season 2029/30. It shows you how much I've played because it starts at 24/25.
Non-League B.
So we're in Non-League B at the moment.
July 2029.
July 2029.
Weekend 0.
So weekend 0, so the first weekend, what you'd call the season.
League hyphen.
League hyphen, because the league has not actually started.
Money £177,000.
That's our money.
Squad 37.
So squad and 37, that's the rating of the squad, which changes depending on the players that you get in. So you roughly start your squad at the rating of 30, maybe 32, 29 sort of thing. And obviously it can go up as high as 99 as you go up through the divisions and get better players.
Manager, 36.
Manager rating, 36.
Training, 41.
41 training.
Youth, 41.
41 youth academy. So again, you upgrade the ratings with money for these particular things.
Trophies, 1.
A trophy, so one trophy so far in the space of 5 years.
Achieved 6.
Gathered 6 achievements already.
Records, history.
Records, history.
Fans happy, 99%. Manager, 100%. Chairman.
So this is how fans are happy with the manager and chairman.
Stadium, chairman, end, main.
And then you can go to stadium and chairman and look at a few things there. And then in the bottom of the screen, you've got, across the whole bottom of the screen, you've got
friendly, Averley, H, navigation. Landmark.
So the bottom of the screen is always a navigation landmark, whether it's to continue to the next screen or whether it's a match screen or anything else. That's where the navigation comes. So at the moment it says friendly Averley H, because we will be playing a friendly to start off the season.
Skip to end.
So we are currently in the match screen, and you've got two options here. One, you can double tap the skip to end button and basically not have to listen to what happens in the match. Or two, you can
skip to end, kickoff, navigation, landmark.
You can tap on kickoff and it will actually play out the match. And all you will get, which I still quite like, is sound effects and goal updates when goals are scored, which is what we're going to do. But I'll show you what else is on the screen by taking us to the top.
Bedford City, Maine, 0. Averley, 0. 0. Minutes. Crowd. 431.
So that's the crowd.
Sawyer. Glover. Warren. Vincent. Flanagan. Harris. Ashby. Dennis. Stewart. Daniels. Ball. Substitutes. Carr. Haywood. Marston. Sharp. End. Kickoff. Navigation.
So we are back to kickoff, and they read out the players' lineup. Now, the game doesn't have real player names. Keep this in mind. There is a way for you to probably get this, but it involves creating custom data packs, and that's quite a techie thing, but you can do so if you wish. So we're going to tap on kickoff, and we're going to listen to the match.
Kickoff, navigate, kickoff, the atmosphere among the Bedford, zero, kickoff, the atmosphere among the Bedford City fans, is very noisy, the weather is scorching. 10, goal, Bedford City, P. Daniels, zero, kickoff, the atmosphere among the Bedford City fans, is very noisy, the weather is scorching. 45, half-time, 1-0, 10, goal, Bedford City, P. Daniels, 46, goal, Averley, 45, half-time, 1-0, 10, goal, Bedford City, P. Daniels, 0, kick-off, the atmosphere, 68, goal, Bedford City, I. Dennis.
So every time there's a goal, it sort of gives you the goal and then takes you backwards through the play all the time, which is probably the only thing you have to keep in mind when you play out the match, but that never bothers me too much. I quite like the sound effects. That always makes a game more fun, because I think without the sound effects, which it was a case at first, it's not that fun. So we're going to tap on
player ratings, navigation, landmark, player ratings.
This is where you can see how well your players, different players, have performed in the game, which you can look through. I tend to skip that part because really, regardless of what the player ratings are, you can't really do much about that. It's more for your information, but really you don't make the decisions as to which players play. It's more up to your manager.
All results, navigation, continue, navigation.
All results of the friendlies, press continue.
Continue, confirm bonus option, navigation, landmark.
And the great thing is in this game is a lot of the time you'll be spending tapping on the button in the bottom of the screen, because it'll be continue, continue. Which can be a bit monotonous, but there will be times where you have to make decisions, like this one. So let's find out what it's telling us to do.
Players request win bonus, main, landmark. The players have approached you to ask whether you would be prepared to offer them a bonus for every game they win this season. The bonus would be a percentage of their weekly wage. For instance, a player earning £100 per week would get an extra £10 if the team won, and you had agreed a 10% bonus. No win bonus, row 1, column 1, table start, 3. 10% win bonus, row 2, column 1. 20% win bonus, row 3, column 1, table end.
Now, obviously, this is very much your decision. If you want to give your players a bonus, you can do so. I think it all depends to the money. You have to think of the money primarily. Your job is, at the end of the day, to make sure the club survives financially as well as form. So it's up to you financially what you want to do. What you will do now...
Money. £176,763.
Is give you the exact amount of money you have.
Current wage bill. £1,301.
£1,301.
Recommended max wage bill.
Then it's the recommendation. Then you will see the recommended max wage bill, which you should have in order to financially survive.
£3,270. End. Main.
£3,270. So technically, we could probably give our players a 20% win bonus, because we are very much below the recommended max wage quite considerably. But do keep in mind that we are still in the transfer window because the season has only started. So you might be signing players. So your wages at some point might increase as well. So keep that in mind for the season. But I'm going to be generous.
Recommended 1,000 current wage, 100 money, 20% win bonus, 20% win bonus, row 3, column 1, table end.
We're going to give our players 20% win bonus.
Confirm bonus option, continue, navigation, landmark.
Now let's see what we've got.
576, Bedford City have sold. 576, season tickets for the new season. This is a change of -4% from last season.
So that's not very good. 4% less season tickets, which is a bit of a shame.
In order to help the club's cash flow, the money for these tickets will be spread across each home league game of the season, along with any additional tickets bought for individual matches. End, main, continue, navigation, landmark.
Nevertheless, we hit continue.
Continue. Navigation. Landmark.
Let's see what else we got.
Players delighted by bonus offer. Main, land, Bedford City's players are extremely happy that the chairman Hubert Pavelkovic has agreed to pay a 20% bonus for each game they win this season. End, main.
Well, there we go. I'm hoping so.
Continue. Navigate. Community Cup. Navigation. Landmark.
So we are into the midweek screen now, which is the same as the summary screen. It just, instead of saying weekend, it says midweek, and it will reflect some of the changes that may have come. For example, cuts to wages or money that's come out of your account.
Player slash management wages.
This is your financial report, which is quite important because you can look at all your income and expenditure. And at the end, it will tell you if this week you've made a profit or if you make a loss, which can be quite vital, especially if your finances get quite low. You might want to keep an eye on that financial report to see what you need to do to save money somewhere. I'm fairly keen on my financial position. It's quite good at the moment, so I'm going to just hit continue to stop that.
Continue. Navigation. Landmark.
Okay, see what else we've got now.
A car. Male goalkeeper. Image. Navican wrench SV. Take screenshot. Football chairman. Heading. Takes. Navican. Male goal. A car. Cap G. 36. Age 22. Club facilities praised. Goalkeeper Akar has commented that Bedford City's training facilities are helping to make him a better player. End. Main.
Now, when you get this sort of bit of information, it means that your training facilities have helped players' rating to go up. So this player rating, as you've heard, is 36. It used to be 35, and it's been upgraded by one thanks to my training facilities. So that's quite good because they are 41. So your squad players can technically go up to a level 41 skill set because of the training facilities.
Continue. Accept bid. Navigation. P ball. Male attacker. Image. P ball. Cap A. 38.
So this is an attacker with a rating of 38. Quite high for your level. So you might have heard the word bid mentioned there. So keep going.
Age 23. Attacker in demand. Braintree have made a bid of £4,700.
Ooh. Nice.
For P ball. Value. £3,790.
So the club have not only met his value price, but also gone above it.
Status. First team.
But he's a first team player. Do you want to get rid of him?
Male. Image. The manager feels he is an important player who should stay at the club.
So the manager will always advise you whether you should sell him or you shouldn't and how they feel about it. You can, of course, ignore them.
View squad.
You can view your squad to see how to see the squad and see what impact it may have.
View transfer shortlist. End. Main.
You can view your transfer shortlist, which might help you because if you've got attackers on your shortlist that are higher rated, maybe you might be able to get rid of this player.
Accept bid. Navigation. Landmark.
Then you've got accept bid.
Reject. End. Navigation.
Or you can just reject the bid. Now, I'm going to reject it in this case because he's one of our good attackers and I don't really want to sell him unless we sign another attacker in the future. So I'll tap on reject.
Confirm. Navigation. Landmark.
See what we've got now.
Jato Rimmel. Male midfield, J Cap M, 39, age 28, potential loan signing.
So a manager has found someone for us to sign on loan. I'm going to look at their rating.
Age 39, Cap M, 39, age 28, potential loan signing. The manager has identified midfielder J Turner from Maidenhead, who is available on a loan deal until the end of the season. Style, direct, personality, quiet. Negotiate deal, row 1, column 1, table start, 3 rows, 1 column.
So you can now choose whether what you want to do about this with. You can either negotiate deal.
Add to shortlist, row 2, column 1.
You can add them to the transfer shortlist.
Ignore suggestion, row 3, column 1, table end.
Or you can select to ignore the suggestion and not consider them at all. I think what I like to do here is...
Mail, image. The manager thinks he would be a good addition to the squad. Money. £176,763. Current wage bill. £1,301. Recommended max wage bill. £3,270. View squad.
What I often do in this case is view my squad to see if I've got enough midfielders. Because if I have enough midfielders, then I don't really want to buy them unless I really have to, you know, get them. For now, to speed things up, I'm going to just tap on ignore suggestion and move on. Because really, I'm happy with what we've got for now, so we're not going to get anyone for now. Maybe next week.
Ignore suggestion. Row 3. Confirm. Navigate. Continue. Navigation. Lap 38. Age 20. Attacker bid turned down. Braintree's. 4,000 bid for P ball has been rejected. End. Main. Bedford City kick off the 2029/30 season in league with this weekend's away fixture against St Albans. Bedford City go into the match as slight favourites and will be hoping for a victory. Continue. Navigation. Landmark.
So that is Football Chairman, a week snapshot of the Football Chairman game. And a lot of it will be fairly similar throughout the season, what you'll be doing. Let us know how you do. Let us know if you end up giving it a go. What club you pick. Maybe you pick a club that already exists or you create your own. And also, maybe if you're given a superstar band manager go, do also let us know. But hope you've enjoyed this demonstration of Football Chairman here on RNIB Tech Talk.
We've had an email from Richard who writes, our fixed phone has now been changed to a new system, Voice over Internet Protocol, VoIP. We no longer get the intermittent beeps to indicate a voicemail is there. Sadly, the person from our service provider to whom I spoke seemed vague, so hope you can advise if that's how it is on VoIP, or should the voicemail audible notifications still be available? Folks, any ideas about this one? I guess we're talking about that broken dial tone that you used to get, you know, when you pick up the receiver to make an outbound call, and if you've got a message waiting for you on 1571, then the dial tone was kind of intermittent.
Yeah, or sometimes you've had little beeps in the middle of it, wouldn't you? Like the, I remember that being a thing for a while. It kind of went between two different tones. I'm not sure about this one. I mean, there's obviously I work for BT. I don't know if that is your provider, but we've had a few challenges with digital voice and accessibility. Usually they've been around alarm systems and, you know, medical systems. So they have, I think they've paused the rollout a couple of times actually to iron out some of those issues. And it looks like this is one of them. So there's only two things that I can really suggest. Neither of them are going to be very helpful, I don't think. But there are some talking landline phones you can get. Very difficult to find. I remember trying to find one a few years ago, and they were really difficult to find. But if you can get hold of them, they might do the job. You know, they might give you an audible announcement when there's a voicemail waiting for you. There is a phone that you can get from BT, which has Lady A built in to help you make calls. So this is the Amazon Alexa. Now, I've no idea how that works. I've never tried it. But whether that could tell you if there's a voicemail waiting for you, I'm not sure. You know, whether you could ask it or if it could do some sort of announcement, I have no idea. But they're the kind of two things that I would look into. But other than that, I think you might just have to contact your provider, whoever that is, really, and see if they've got an accessibility team, maybe, who could help you.
There's something called TrueCall as well. I don't know if anybody's used TrueCall, but it's a little device that you attach to your phone. You have to plug it into the phone at your master socket. So I don't know if this is going to be able to work when the new changeover happens, but that is a little box that you can record messages and it will always tell you when somebody's called you as well. So that's worth a thought.
Richard doesn't say who his service provider is, but maybe push a little bit harder, Richard, and see if they've got a dedicated accessibility team and let us know how you get on. We've heard from Taylor in the US who writes, hello, RNIB Tech Talk team. I recently listened to your episode featuring iAccessibility. I'm part of the iAccessibility team and I was thrilled to hear Michael on the show. Thank you for having him. Well, we were very glad to have him. Anyway, Taylor says, I also wanted to share that I'm a big fan of aftershocks. If you use them for work like I do, I highly recommend the aftershocks COM model, which is perfect for office use. If you're using them for running or other outdoor activity, then the aftershocks run model is fantastic. I switched to using these after experiencing a severe ear infection from using AirPods, and they've been a great alternative. Hubert, you're the kind of the headphones man, I think. Aftershocks, AirPods, what's your poison?
I use a bit of both. I mean, I love my Aftershocks Open Run Pros. I've recently had them, and they are fantastic for outdoor. I mean, when I walk to the Grimaldi building, often through the St. Pancras Concourse and the roads and stuff, I love using them to kind of have music quietly in the background. When it comes to using headphones in the office, though, that's an interesting debate, because for me, the OpenCom models are actually Bluetooth. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if it's just me. With the computers, I quite like to use wired headphones.
So do I.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I did used to. I used to, like, just, I would only use wired headphones. And then I don't know what it was. I just got kind of fed up of that wire being there all the time. It was like I was tied to my laptop. So I've started using the, I've got the Aftershocks OpenCom, and I've started using that. There is the, there's the OpenCom 2 version now, and I'm not sure what the difference is. I think I've got the version 1, because I've had them for a couple of years. I don't find that they lag too much, to be honest, unless I've just got used to it, maybe. But yeah, that was the major issue. There would be loads of lag with Bluetooth. But I don't find them too bad on that.
Why do you want to wire, Jackie?
I've got a headset that I use at work, a Plantronics, and it's wired, and I don't have any dropout or anything like that. That I think Bluetooth can be a bit of a nuisance in that sense, a lag. I think sometimes when you connect to Bluetooth on a Windows machine, it can be, I don't think it's quite as straightforward as it is if you're using on your phone or tablet. I don't know what other people think of that, but I think sometimes Bluetooth can be a little bit of a nuisance with Windows. So I've just stopped to wired, but I do use Bluetooth headphones, you know, the Sonys and the Sonos ones as well. I use those with my phone for music listening, but they're kind of over the ear ones. They're what I would call premium headphones.
Yeah, they did used to be an issue on Windows 10, I think, where if you had Bluetooth headphones and then you joined a call, because they went to like a different audio profile, you would completely lose speech. You'd just lose your screen reader. That doesn't happen now in Windows 11, which is good, which is why I've now that kind of prompted me to wait to switch. Yeah, I will say about the Aftershocks, the open comms, these are the ones that have got that little, like a mini kind of boom arm for the microphone. Fantastic microphone on those headphones, especially for Bluetooth. It's a brilliant microphone.
I'm quite impressed with the Open Run mic, to be honest. It's the Open Run the Open Run headphones have a very good microphone, which for Bluetooth headphones I think is a miracle these days, because I've not found many good microphones in Bluetooth headphones. And another thing I think with wired is, because I do audio editing, I guess wired I rely for a lot more, because it doesn't give you that lag, which with audio editing is, I think, key.
Oh yeah, audio editing is always wired.
Horses for courses. Anyway, glad you're enjoying the podcast, Taylor, and good to hear from you. We are at the end of another Tech Talk. Thank you so much for your company. As always, if you like what you heard, tell a friend. You know what to do. And if you've got a comment, suggestion, we're always keen to hear from you. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. But from myself, Dave Williams, Jackie Brown, Hubert Pavalkovich, and Callum Stoneman, bye for now.
Bye for now.
Until next time.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.